Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The operative phrase for this week is that marriage is to be held in honor by all. This is what is written in the book of Hebrews. We see that on Sunday in all the lectionaries that Jesus comes to the wedding at Cana. He honors it. He performs his first miracle, it seems, maybe against his initial plans, because marriage is worth it, because he himself honors it. And remember, Jesus did not take a wife on this earth. Likewise, his apostle Paul, despite his expressed wish that all would be like him, all would be single and singularly devoted to the work of the church, Paul devotes a lot of his writings, including this passage from Ephesians, to the gift and the honor of marriage as a very good gift. He, just like Christ Jesus, refers back to the beginning, to Genesis, to the gift of God that was right there in creation, therefore, based on the creation of mankind as male and female. Now it says right there, the reason for creating Eve was that it was not good for man to be alone. And that shows the importance and even perhaps the emphasis on marriage that is given throughout the scriptures. Now, it's true, celibacy is also a station that is given. But Jesus says something somewhat different about that. He says that it is a saying that cannot be received by all, and therefore should not necessarily be received by all forever. His disciples thought it was the harder saying, I guess they're right, according to Jesus, that it would be better not to marry. But for us in our day, perhaps it seems like the opposite is true. Perhaps it seems like it is much easier or even normal and ordinary that we should remain alone. Marriage is reserved for the special cases, for the soulmates, for those who can somehow achieve that status and then, I guess, hold on to it, since we know that just as many marriages as start seem to end before death parts them. This is sad, and it is the right response of us to be sad too when the Lord has given such a blessing to this gift. It does seem as if the deck is stacked against marriage as well. Stacked against it because it is hard to find someone for yourself. But also because the whole deck of our world is stacked against chastity, which is significant. Chastity, which comprehends not just activity before marriage, a lack thereof, but also the true and chaste way that husbands and wives are together with one another, and so many things as a side effect of all of the other work that we do have worked against keeping us with people who care for us and who know us at the time that we are probably most interested in finding a husband or a wife. This is the time that our world takes us away from our parents who know us best, away from the communities of people that they might know would be potential matches for us. I say this not to condemn all of the excellent things that we all have gone through, college, high school, moving away, beginning work, but simply to recognize that these hinder the natural and ordinary ways that we find people, that marriages can be fostered. And that directly impacts it in our world. Now, our sympathy should go to those who wish to be married and yet are not given that station. Those who do not believe that they have been given the gift of celibacy that Jesus and Paul talk about. Those who take seriously Paul's concern that we should not burn with lust, that we would like to get married, and that, as God himself said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. Even so, our sympathies must not try to square the circle that we find ourselves in by denying that for most marriage really is the gift and the intention that God has given to his world. Our sympathy, rather, should lead us to love. To love our fellow Christians, our fellow people, those who do not have the gift of celibacy, to remain in a solitary station and yet seem to have only that option. We should try to overcome the choices and the side effects that our world and ourselves and our decisions have made that have destroyed opportunities for marriage. That is a good work that Christians can do for one another. The church to this day, however weakened it may seem to the world, is actually one of the best places to foster Christian marriages. Now, about marriage itself, which is what our text is concerned with, this should be such a familiar passage to us that we know it well. But above all, I hope you cherish it because it is so beautiful. It is the teaching that Christ's bride is the whole Christian church. All of us are part of that. Then even that our marriages, despite all of their flaws and their struggles and everything stacked against them, they still are pictures, according to God's word, I'll believe it, of Christ with his church. It can only be so because of the forgiveness of sins. It can only be so because of the sacrifice of Christ. And that actually is the heart of the whole teaching, isn't it? Christ forgives. Christ is the one who prepares his church as a bride, who makes her spotless, who makes her holy and sanctified, worthy enough to present to himself. He accomplished this by giving himself up for her, it says. That is, loving the world to death on his cross. And he gives and bestows that status. He delivers it to us by blessing us with the gift of holy baptism, so beautifully described here, that he washes us clean. Now, just think of it. All of the fights in this world, all of the jokes, all of the portrayals even of men and women make it the opposite of this. They make it a competition. They make it a competition for self-made statuses and self-preserved statuses. We each carve out our own territory. We argue over who has control or who has power over the other. Who is the head? Who is the neck that turns the head? But Christ, our Lord, has shown his almighty power in this, chiefly in showing mercy and pity in his sacrificial and his selfless love. And this is why we love this passage and find it beautiful. It is a noble honor to be not a beast of burden helping out Adam, not a slave of his, but just as Eve is, bone of his bone, flesh of Adam's flesh, a woman, a helpmeet who is well suited to him, a wife. So also it is a humble and a humbling headship that God gives when a man, a husband, loves his wife in the way of Christ Jesus, not as a consummate Lord himself, but as a faithful and sacrificial steward for her good. This is the vision, and this is the vision alone that brings marriage to a beautiful status in our world, not the miserable experiment that we see all around us, which pits men and women not just in marriage, but even outside of marriage, against each other in political strife, in objectifying games of sexual economic speculation that everyone is carrying out one against the other. We go back and assert and hold in honor what God has said. It is not good for man or woman to be alone because they were created to be suited and helpful to one another. Therefore, whatever your station is, I urge you to carry out your pro-marriage activism in this way. Hold God's estate in honor. And extol especially the beauty that we see in this passage. This is sympathetic to those who are in any kind of pain related to marriage, but it also is pleasing to the Lord who gave the gift of marriage, who's written it even into our human flesh, if only we would stop kicking against the goads in every way. Because at the heart of it is this great and good news. Our Lord is still and always the Christ, the Lord who forgives. He's the one who's able to make the tattered whole and pure again. He's the one who makes all of us blameless before him by his blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.